Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? It is so great to be with you guys. It's Thursday, which means it's the coach approach, which means I'm here with my good friend, Ant from 49ers Cutback. Ant, how are we doing, my man?
I am doing great. It is scheduled release day, which means we're going to get a lot more information about the 49ers season. We can start locking in what our days look like, what Mondays, Thursdays, you know, all those times you have to sneak away early from work, all that stuff, you know, to get prepared for these games. I think it's just a really fun and exciting time. 49ers, you know, football is great during the offseason. The NFL does it better than anyone else of keeping that excitement rolling. And I'm pumped. I saw some pictures of Mike Evans catching the ball yesterday, and I'm like, oh, this is just crazy seeing him in a 49ers uniform. So yeah, I'm super pumped, excited to be on the show and talking to you, John.
Dude, Mike Evans has tortured me throughout decades of my adulthood. You know, one, I hate A&M more than any other institution, if you want to call it that, like in the world, hook 'em. But like, he was so damn good there. And like him and the Johnny Manziel is just like, oh, disgusted me, but they were so freaking good. Then he goes to Tampa Bay. I've never really liked Tampa Bay for whatever reason. I have no reason to really dislike him. But he's just been so freaking good. So now, whenever you like, it's like the Richard Sherman thing. Like you get one of these uber talented, so fun player to root for that you're not allowed to root for, and then you get him on your side, and it's just like, yes. Like I feel like Mr. Burns. You know what I mean? Just like excellent. Like you know what I mean? And so like seeing those clips, which is fun. And shout out to the 49ers media team, whatever. I hate all the non-football stuff that they do, but whenever they finally do anything football, I'm like, oh, thank God. Yeah, okay. There we go. My favorite thing that they've done so far this offseason is where they filmed a clip of, I think it was Deshaun Stribling working on punt coverage, and they labeled it like great route runner, and it was just like, oh, that's so good. That is just tasty. I love them, and so thank you to whoever is finally doing any type of football stuff whatsoever. We are thankful. So today's episode, which I'm really excited about, and I also do have to apologize. The reason why we haven't had Coach Approach, 100% my fault. Just my craziness off the air is distracting the Ant and John saga. So I apologize for that. I take full responsibility. But today we're going to be bouncing back and forth between excitement and concerns, a nuanced take to the offense and defense, kind of team as a whole, to try to kind of prod us into excitement, but check us back with the concerns, because it's not the best roster since 1989, and it's not those things, but there is a lot to be excited about, but we're going to check that. So we're going to be bouncing back and forth from that. And man, shout out to my man, Kimbrough. He put this in the chat right before we went live. He says, jumping on a flight, finally getting back to Cali, going to miss the live show. The faithful community is the best. Yes, he is correct. Kimbrough, you are the best of the best. I just want to say thank you for your generosity in the super chat there, man. Safe travels, brother. Hope all is well. But I wanted to start off selfishly because I don't know the answer to this. My favorite superhero movies are the origin, like superhero movies, you know what I'm talking about? I need to know what made Ant turn evil. How did you start the whole streaming thing? I know you coached, and I know there's been a journey, but man, can you share a little bit, a little peek behind the curtains, just in how you got started in this process? Because I get so many positive questions about you and comments about you. I want to know more. I want to know more.
Yeah. So it's, you know, it was really interesting how I got into it. So I was coaching, like you said, and the school I was at, they actually sold the campus. They decided to sell it to a school district. It became a charter school. And I took it as an opportunity. I wouldn't normally walk away from the kids, but it was an opportunity where it was a clean break. And so I took a step back and stepped away from coaching for a bit. And I was, you know, kind of sitting back, and COVID was happening. And I said, you know, what's going on? And it got to draft time. And I was like, you know what? What about doing a podcast? Could I do that? And it was really humble beginnings. I started recording on my phone and just posting on an audio platform. Just what I thought of the, you know, the players that were going to be in the first round, second round of the draft that I thought the 49ers could be interested in. And then, you know, me and my friends used to always kind of sit around and talk football and go on these long, you know, things about football. So I talked to a couple friends and they ended up jumping on with me, and we got started doing that for a while. And as time went on, you know, we entered the YouTube area. It was a lot of learning, a lot of bad quality stuff, but we just worked through it until we got, you know, pretty good. And then at some point I was the last man standing. Everybody else was kind of doing their own thing, and that's fine. You know, when things come up, life happens, you know, people go their own direction, and I just continued to roll, continued to learn, got to meet nice people along the way, John, like you and you know, Adam.
I'm a nice guy. I'm in the nice category. I'll take it.
The nice category. Yeah, John was one of the first ones that ever jumped on, you know, when me and Alex were doing the show. And
shout out to Alex, man. He's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, everything happened that way. It was very humble beginnings. I mean, we were not good at first. And I think we're always striving to get a little bit better, but I just love football, wanted to talk football, missed coaching. And this was an avenue for me to be able to talk about it and use what I had learned through the years, all the coaching clinics and all that, to kind of talk about my passion, which is football.
Dude, I miss coaching clinics. Every time I see, like, a lot of my buddies, they take part in that and they teach and they do the travel and all that stuff, Glacier and whatever. And I'm just like, maybe I'm going to go down there and just like hang out and just like have fun. And then I never do it. And I always kind of regret it. But I'm like, man, dude, I got spoiled because the Texas High School Coaches Association would have, you know, one every year. And it was, dude, it was incredible. Like Kirby Smart, Nick Saban, Mac Brown, Jed Fisher. Like I've listened to and met a ridiculous amount of, you know, whatever coaches, and the college football and NFL coaches would fight their asses off to get down there because they knew, dude, these guys are going, you know, if we get in with the coaches, we're going to get in with the players, you get in with the players, so on and so forth. And so like, it was cool, but I need to get back into that. Now, for those of you that want to learn football, like the coach clinic on YouTube is off the freaking charts. Like they record that stuff and put it on there. Like you just turn it on and watch how to defend odd man fronts, like, you know, whatever, on third and long, and you can just learn. It's incredible. So there's a lot out there. But man, I want to say thank you for sharing some of your story, and I appreciate the positivity you bring to the community. It's so easy to commit to the dark side and just go clickbait. There's more money in it. There's more subscriptions in it. There's more clicks in it. There's more of that. But it's hard work to come up with nuanced, positive takes and educate. It's the slower ride to success, but I think it's way more fulfilling. And if there's anything that comes across from you, Ant, it's how much you enjoy this. And so I just want to say thank you. And if you want to support Ant, the best way to do that, one, subscribe to the 49ers Cutback, whatever platform, whether that's YouTube, Spotify, Apple, doesn't matter. Please do that. But Patreon, guys, this is how we pay our bills. Patreon.com/ 49ers Cutback. Go support. Go sign up while you can. He's putting so much content. Can you share just a little bit about what you got going on in the next month or so, and you know what all the draft stuff you have up on there is?
Yeah, we're working through the draft picks right now, and I'm going through the vision for each player as we go. So we're talking about what they're going to add to the team, how, you know, Kyle Shanahan plans to use them, or what the role is going to be on defense, and that's the focus. We're backing it up with some, you know, some film and stuff like that, and kind of breaking it out. Right now, you can go get, you know, the video of Stribling, that's available. The video of Romello Height, and then I just put out the one about Kalon Black. Who, honestly, the Kalon Black one, once I got it more into the video and more into the film, he started reminding me of Devontae Freeman, and then I went down that rabbit hole. I think that he's a very much a Kyle Shanahan and Bobby Turner guy. And I think it's more evident the more film you watch, as they're kind of returning to more of that form of guy and realizing there's no Christian McCaffreys out there. We need to get guys that we've had success with. And my first impression of Kalon Black when I was watching him be physical was, is this Olandis Gary? Like, that was the first thing I saw with the contact. And then after that, I kind of landed on Freeman. I'm like, these guys are very similar build, athleticism, size, everything. So I think this is just them kind of in their wheelhouse. So that's what I'm doing. I'm working on the Grayson Halton one right now. That'll be coming out probably in the next day or two, as we'll get the Grayson Halton video out there so everyone can see it. Because I just think that it's fun to see the vision for these guys and what they're going to do the next, you know, season or two at least, within this Raheem Morris scheme.
I like it. It's funny you brought up Kalon Black, because when you go back to Ty Davis Price or Trey Sermon, Like they use the same phrases. A big back with smaller back tendencies and smaller back feet, right? That is not Caleb Black. Caleb Black's tiny. Like I get people asking about can he play fullback. I was like, dude, this is smallest running back like in the draft class. Now he's jacked and doesn't miss a day in the weight room and you know, whatever, Mighty Mouse, but he's a small back with big back tendencies. And so yeah, again, I'm going to keep nobody. This is not going to catch on, but I don't care. It's going to catch on for he's Neo. Like he is going to be the third round running back that catches. I'm not saying he's going to be a Pro Bowler or anything like that, but at least he's going to be on the roster and contribute in a healthy way throughout his rookie contract, which at the end of his rookie contract, he'll be a 29-year-old running back. So I don't know what's going to be past that, but the consistency is there. You look at Ty Davis Price and you look at Trey Sermon, they were splash players. Kalen Black's not splashy at all. Yeah, you talk about the four-game skid that he had in the college football playoff, which was entertaining as hell, but like he's just a consistent guy. And that is what the 49ers need is consistency. And I would argue the overarching theme of this entire offseason has been get consistency. And, you know, probably one of the biggest boom bust players last season was D Winters. You let that dude go. Kalia Davis, you just let him walk for free. Jordan Elliott, see ya, man. Like you let a lot of these guys that were just non-consistent players walk and you replaced them with a lot of consistency. So everybody go support Ant. I love it. I love it. Look at this Bobo. He says, I got to listen to John and Ant. Because they actually pay attention to what we have to say and not just the super chat. Super chats are awesome. But this show is y'all show. And so, Bobo, you know I love you. And we disagree on most things. But that's okay. That's okay. May is Mental Health Awareness Month. A reminder that whatever you're going through, you don't have to go through it alone. Life's a journey. Some days feel good. Others feel overwhelming. Whatever's keeping you up at night, it's easy to feel like you have to figure it out all on your own. But the truth is, no one has all the answers and no journey should be alone. Having someone with you to listen, to understand, and support you can make all the difference in the world. And BetterHelp does all the initial matchmaking work for you so you can focus on your therapy goals. A short questionnaire helps you identify your needs, preferences, and with over 12 plus years experience in this industry, their match fulfillment rate means they typically get it right the first time. And if you aren't happy with your match, you can switch to a different therapist at any time from their tailored recommendations. Also, with over 30,000 therapists, BetterHelp is the world's largest therapy platform, having served over 6 million people globally. And it works with an average rating of 4.9 out of 5 stars for a live session. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp, and if you don't have to be on this journey alone, find support and have someone with you in therapy. Sign up and get 10% off at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com. You might have heard the phrase, dirty hands, clean money. It's a blue-collar saying that has been around forever. The idea that hard, honest work is how you earn a good life and everything in it. Troll Co., it's a clothing brand built around that, started by two guys out in the oil patch who worked hard their whole lives and could not find anything that represented people like them. So they made it. Workwear, tees, hoodies, hats. And here is what I keep thinking about. The faithful rep red and gold with real conviction. Not because it's easy, but because it means something. We are the best fan base in sports. That is the exact same energy Troll Co. runs on. You wear it because of what it stands for. And I was raised from blue collar work. My father ran a construction crew his entire life. My oldest son works in the oil fields in Texas. My youngest son, he's going to become a firefighter. Like this is who we are. And so when you think about what you sacrifice most, people don't see. But you go to trollco.com/rush. That's trollco.com/rush and use code RUSH25 for 25% off your first order. Go check them out. Amazing company, amazing people, amazing product. Wonderful thing to support. Again, that's trollco.com/rush and use code RUSH25 for 25% off your first order. So let's stick with running backs. I'm going to let you take this one because I got to blow my nose. I apologize. I'm still a little under the weather. Yeah, take this away. I'm going to pull the camera down. I'll be right back, okay? All right. You got
it. Got it. It says, biggest concern is how CMC will be used this season. I'm still on the use him like Debo train and split time between James and Black in the backfield. Play Tonjes and Juice at the edges. This coming from Oscar. You know, I think that the Christian McCaffrey thing is going to kind of figure itself out. I think you look at the things that have been said from, you know, Coach Kubiak, some of the things Christian McCaffrey said, but Kubiak was pretty clear. Like, we've got to make sure there is time where Christian McCaffrey's off the field. We've got to do a good job as coaches and do a better job of getting McCaffrey off. And I think that there is a attitude towards that. I think McCaffrey also has gotten better. Even though he had the most touches and everything last year, that was the first time that I had seen him in his career look over at the sideline and be like, hey, I need one. I need to come out. And so I think that the 49ers realize they got to find some balance. I think that's another reason why they've added to the running back room with Kalen Black, is they're trying to find some more balance behind Christian McCaffrey. And I think once they do figure out this rotation of running backs, it could be Jordan James, it could be Kalen Black. I don't want to throw anyone out. But I think that that's when they'll finally feel comfortable with McCaffrey coming off the field a little bit. But make no mistake, they're not replacing Christian McCaffrey. So when he comes off, it's a lot like Debo. The type of plays you run, the effective plays with him in the slot, it's going to change. So Kyle has some adjustment. Him and Bobby Turner have to have good communication of, hey, he's on the field or he's not. So that way Kyle doesn't get stuck in those situations where all of a sudden he has Kalen Black lined up out wide trying to run a vertical route, and it's not going to work. So there is going to be some communication things there.
And I think, too, you know, my biggest concern, so here's how the show notes are designed for today, and we always go off script, but that's okay. Like, what's the biggest concern for the offense? What are you most excited about for the offense? Same thing for the defense, and there's a lot of bullet points there. My number one concern is Christian McCaffrey, just in general. Now, that's a great concern to have because he's so elite at so many different things. Vision still A++, route running, hands, all that. Speed. Major question mark. The burst, we saw it disappear last year, but that his effectiveness is still there. I mean, shoot, 2,000 total yards. Come on, man. Like insane. What version of CMC are the 49ers going to get? Now, last year you had no choice because you had such a terrible wide receiver core. You couldn't take him off the field because then you had no receiving options. You have remedied that situation. You have brought in receiver after receiver after receiver after receiver after receiver. Two undrafted free agents. You spend your number one choice on Deshaun Stribling. You pay Mike Evans. You bring in Kirk. Like, you have revamped the wide receiver room. Does that lessen the dependability? Maybe that's the wrong word. Dependent on Christian McCaffrey playing so much and getting so many touches. Do you think that lessens a little bit this season? It can't go up, right? Like, he can't have more touches than he did last year, can he?
No, I don't think so. I think it does. It does lessen the burden on Christian McCaffrey. Last year, you were using him to try to not just get him open, but sometimes just manipulate the defense's eyes, right? You used to see them do this with Debo Samuel all the time. If I can dangle Debo over here with the motion or move him around, it'll get some eyes on him. And so Kyle Shanahan did that sometimes with Christian McCaffrey, and he had to. I mean, you had Juwan Jennings playing X, and I have no problems with Juwan Jennings. I think he's a very good receiver in the NFL, but he's not a true X. So you had to find ways to get him matchups that were good, and one of those ways is use Christian McCaffrey, who's a do-it-all. You move him around, you put him in motion, you get people's attention with him, and he's a guy that can get it done. He was also your number one playmaker. With the ball in his hands, he's still the guy that can do the most with it. Because you just, George Kittle, he's a guy that was drawing double coverage a lot. Like, they knew what they were doing. Now you add Mike Evans. You're going to hopefully have a healthy Ricky Pearsall, but Christian Kirk's there to insulate just in case. You add Deshaun Stribling. You've added weapons now around Christian McCaffrey that there shouldn't be so much of a burden on him. I also think with Jordan James going into year two and the addition of Kalen Black, you've got a little bit better running back room depth-wise. They've kind of replaced that Jordan Mason, you know, player that can kind of step in and play. So I think that's big. I also wouldn't be shocked if they go out and they find another veteran eventually, you know, the edge of the roster guy, a guy like Elijah Mitchell to come in and compete for a chance to maybe be, you know, running back three or four, because I don't think they're completely sold on what they got to Isaac Arendo.
Yeah. And so I like this question, and I kind of want to rephrase it. Shout out to Logan. Either Jordan James or Black. Who gets more touches this season if you had to guess, Jordan James or Kalon Blatt?
I think right now the leader in the clubhouse has got to be Jordan James. He played in the offense already one whole season. But I'm hoping that Bobby Turner and Kyle Shanahan just say, hey, you know what? You guys go out and battle this thing out, right? I hope it's like the Joker. They break the stick and say, hey, tryouts right now, right? Like, go for it.
Competitive expansion.
Yeah, because I really want these guys to compete at the highest level. And I think we're going to see them a lot during the preseason as well. So it's going to be whoever wins that battle is going to end up getting the most touches. I think they both are really good. I think James just has a little bit of a head start because of everything that happened last year and him being able to learn this offense.
Yeah, I agree. I would go Jordan James as well. But, I mean, shoot, you look at Jordan James and the draft pick that they put in him, I think it was a fifth rounder versus a third for Kalon Blatt. So, like, the draft capital would say the other way around. But I hope they both get work. I really, really do. I hope they both get work. And this running back room, you have to use your players. And you cannot be so dependent on Christian McCaffrey. I really hope that they diversify just a little bit. And we've seen that in Shanahan's tenure. You go back to his time with Atlanta. Like Tevin Coleman, the Freeman. Like, that was awesome. Let's get some more of that. You talked about how close Kalon Blatt is to Freeman. I'd like to see more of that. So here is my question to you. Let's post it on the other side. We talked about a concern. Let's go for something you're excited about on the offensive side. What is it that, you know, just something that has changed or it could be the same that you're really excited about seeing this year for the 49ers offense?
I'm excited to see Mike Evans, you know, playing on the outside, a legitimate X receiver that teams respect. You want to put one-on-one with Mike Evans? Well, do it at your own peril because he can go up over the top of you and make a play when it looks like he's covered. And I think that that is a big weapon at Brock Purdy's disposal, but it's not just Mike Evans. They have added in this room with players that are consistent and guys who have speed. And I think that Stribling and Kirk, those guys are going to be good role players this year. We already know what DeMarcus Robinson can do. And then Ricky Pearsall. I mean, this is the best situation for Ricky Pearsall. If he stays healthy, he will have a really good season with the attention that's going to be paid to Mike Evans, the attention that's going to be paid to other players around him. So I think it could be huge, but yeah, I'm most excited to see number five out there catching the football and making plays. Cause I do think that this is going to threaten Seattle and threaten other teams to kind of move those safeties back, you know, 2-3 yards. And a lot of people don't think that's a lot. But when you're talking about the run game and how successful you want to be at that space, that's the difference between one of those safeties getting there and hitting Christian McCaffrey 3 yards beyond the line of scrimmage and 5 or 6 yards beyond the line of scrimmage. That gives him space to be able to make something happen and turn what could be a 3 yard gain into a 7 or 10 yard gain. And those are huge things. Open things up also. That middle part of the field starts opening up as teams have to worry about Evans going deep or Stribling going deep. And all of a sudden you have two high safety looks all the time and they can't run that lurk concept where they want to bring that robber over the middle of the field and stuff. So it changes defense entirely.
Yeah, it's funny because I want to see Brock with a true deep threat wide receiver. Like we go back to the Brandon Ayuk and kind of, you know, his role and whatever, like he did a lot of things amazingly well, but like as a true deep threat guy, you know, most of his stuff was on post or post corners or, you know, deep end breakers did whatever. Like it wasn't a vertical threat. It was a part of his game, but it wasn't really whatever. I want to know if Brock can finally facilitate that vertical passing game and that back shoulder fade. Like Mike Evans is a specialist at it. Deshaun Stribling is made for it. And the fact that Deshaun Stribling gets to learn behind Mike Evans for a year or two, like, oh, already a super high floor type guy. Now he gets to learn from the master, right? Like that is just incredible. I think that Brock, his best trait is accuracy and decision-making. If he can incorporate this downfield vertical passing attack, it's you. We could even throw in Jordan Watkins because I think Jordan Watkins, that's his best trait, is stacking corners vertically. We never really got to see it last year. But now you have not one, not two, but three true X vertical wide receivers that can go out there and stretch the field vertically. If the Niners can take advantage of that, it changes everything. Like you said, I mean, I remember coaching and we would usually, you know, 14 yard flat foot read on the hash. That's where we would put our safeties and we were a cover four team. And, you know, we would play teams that were really good at running and we'd bump it up. Okay. We're going to be 12 and a half this week. And the safeties would be like, no, I don't like it. I don't like it. I don't like it. But like that yard and a half, those 2 yards changes. It really does, because now you're there to help in the run game at the second level, as opposed to if you're back a yard and a half, there's a little bit of a crease there. You got to be careful with that. So just manipulating the defensive scheme from the safety position with vertical threats, it doesn't have to be successful. But if the threat is there where the defense is scared, Ricky Pearsall has more room to operate. George Kittle, when he comes back, has more room to operate. Christian McCaffrey has more room to operate. Like, it just opens up everything underneath that two-yard cushion. Ah, I hope that they could do it. Shout out to Mike right here. I can't wait to see what Purdy can do with this wide receiver crew. I want to talk a little bit about Kirk. I think once Deshaun Stribling was drafted 33rd overall, everybody just automatically assumed, okay, well, he's going to be the third wide receiver, the big slot role, which I think that he will play some of that. How do you envision this wide receiver core shaking out early in the season?
I think it's going to go, probably Christian Kirk's going to be the guy they look at first to be that third receiver. I think they brought him here for a reason. He's very experienced. Yeah, he's paid. He's very experienced in understanding what defensive coverages look like. So he knows where to get, where to sit down, where to be. He's going to be a consistent player for Brock. Brock can trust. He's going to be where he's supposed to be when he's supposed to be there. But then after that, I think once Stribling starts coming around and really getting a feel of this offense, then you can go by the personnel you're going against the coverage that you're going against. What kind of look do I want? You know, do I want somebody that's going to press things vertically up the seam coming from the slot? Maybe you have Stribling out there in that moment and it impacts what the defense does. But also, you know, when you get into the run game, you want to run the ball in a 11 personnel look, Stribling against a smaller nickel corner. That's an advantage for the 49ers. Now, if they've got a big nickel, let's get Christian Kirk out there. Let's let him operate in space and be able to create separation on his own. So I think they're going to kind of work it that way after a while. But I think initially it's going to be Christian Kirk, and they'll let Deshaun Stribling kind of work in. But make no mistake, they want to take advantage of that size, weight, and speed, his ability to threaten teams vertical. They're going to come up with some of these matchups every once in a while where you're going to get him on a safety in coverage, and Stribling's just too fast for all. There's not very many safeties in the league that can run with Deshaun Stribling, and those are going to be the explosives that change the way the defenses play the 49ers overall.
And that was one of the things that was absent last year. You didn't have a lot of explosives, especially when Mac Jones was in, right? It was check down, check down, check down, like whatever. But you look at what Brock brings. I saw some stat today on Twitter, and I probably should have bookmarked it so I could give credit. It was like best passing percentage on 3rd and 8+. And Brock Purdy was like 5 percentage points higher than the number two quarterback. Like, it wasn't even close. He's a big play machine, and he can extend. And right here, Bobo, yeah, like the footwork and getting out of jams and extending plays. He's great at that. But it was hard when DeMarcus Robinson's your best wide receiver in the playoffs for two games. Like, that's – DeMarcus Robinson might be the best wide receiver 5 in the NFL. He was wide receiver 1 for us last year in the playoffs because you had Ricky Pearsall banged up and, you know, Juwan Jennings, both those games just like – completely disappeared. It was difficult. You don't have that problem anymore. And like right here, Logan, like DeMarcus Robinson might not even be on this team. I think he makes this roster. He's too damn consistent, too good in the red zone. But like, dude, that wide receiver room, like, listen to just the names, okay? Usually keep 5 or 6. All right, here we go. Mike Evans, Ricky Pearsall, Christian Kirk, DeMarcus Robinson, Deshaun Stribling, Jordan Watkins, Jacob Cowan, Malik Turner, Colton Dowell, Junior Bergen, and then two undrafted free agents, Will Paul and Wesley Grimes. Dude, half those guys are getting cut. Jacob Cowan, come on, man. It's now or you're going elsewhere. You're about to be discarded if you don't show up. This room, the competition level, that's what I'm excited about. Like, I remember being on shows last year with you where we knew pretty much what the 53 man was. And we had like one or two guys that are like, yeah, maybe this guy, dude, I don't know what the hell is going to happen now.
Yeah. I mean, I think you look at wide receiver, even offensive line, you can argue that we don't know exactly who the starters are going to be at some positions. But when you talk about the depth at the position, they've done a really good job with offensive line. Some good players are going to get cut, probably good young players that are going to get cut. You look at defensive line, linebacker, cornerback, even. They've done a very good job of building units that add depth to this football team. So Yeah, I mean, it's going to be crazy when they get to the end of training camp. The war of attrition will probably claim a couple of guys, so that'll kind of thin some things out at certain positions. But I hope everyone stays healthy, and the 49ers have to make some big decisions on how to build this roster, and they're going to have to use the pup list. That's why you're starting to hear names like Mikel Williams and George Kittle. Hey, if they're friends, they're not going to hang on to these guys like they did Hufanga and say, well, they might be back by week three. They're going to put them out for the first four games so they don't lose players within this roster. And it makes it a little bit more difficult because they probably want to keep Curtis Rourke as well. That's a third quarterback. You didn't have to worry about that last year. So a little bit more roster versatility is going to be needed. Probably why Vidarian Lowe was brought in, an actual swing tackle, so that way they don't have to have two tackles. That's one way to kind of ease up that transition from having two quarterbacks to three.
Oh, now, sticking with the wide receiver room, shout out to Maria, who could be punt returner, because he spent a draft pick last year on Junior Bergen. Dude's just so slow. I'm proud that he's still on the roster and still fighting, and, you know, I'm rooting for him. I don't see it. But Jacob Cowing, Jordan Watkins, like, are you confident enough in this wide receiver room that you put Ricky Pearsall back there? Even with all the injuries, like, is it okay to put Pearsall back there to be a returner?
I think the only way they put Pearsall back there is if for some reason they decide Watkins and Cowing aren't on this team. I think if Watkins and Cowing are on this team, a big reason why is they're handling punt return duties. And so I think one of those guys is the most likely. And I think those guys is going to be interesting, right? That's going to be Kyle Shanahan and Brant Boyer together making a decision on what's best for the 49ers. Jacob Cowing and Jordan Watkins, they got to show out on offense because Kyle wants players that are going to contribute on offense, but he also wants players that are going to help on special teams. So you got to be a dual threat. And I think Boyer's going to say, hey, I like Cowing better in this situation. And Kyle's like, but I want Watkins. Can Watkins be serviceable? And Brant Boyer can sign off on it. So those are one of the things that's going to be interesting, is the give and take between special teams and position coaches, and of course the coordinators, in deciding who makes it. I think Cowing and Watkins is going to be one of the funnest battles to watch all training camp and preseason. I hope they stay healthy the whole time, because I think it'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think so too. And Depster, are they done at wide receiver, or will they get another one? I think they're done. And I think the 49ers approach almost every single time post-draft is, all right, did we miss out on this position? Let's add one or two. You added four wide receivers. I just cannot see them going to bat. You know, the A.J. Brown thing, don't see it. Just doesn't make sense. They're loaded in that room. It's going to be rough to kind of break down and whatever else. So, I don't know. Your thoughts on that?
I think the only way they would is if it was somebody that they thought was going to put them over the top that ended up being super cheap, right? It would have to be somebody they felt was impactful they could add that wasn't going to cost a lot of capital. I think A.J. Brown's going to cost a lot when you're talking about what you're going to trade for him potentially, and then you give him a new contract. I don't think that one's realistic. I don't trust the source completely either. So there's a lot of stuff going out.
Jason Lockefora has not been right about really anything with the 49ers since Shanahan showed up.
For sure. And so I'm not really taking a lot into that, but I think if the right situation came up, or if they decided that one of those guys wasn't going to work out as returner, then I could see them adding somebody maybe into the fold. That's when you could hear them call on their old friend Debo Samuel and say, hey, you're going to come in and handle return duties, something like that. But other than that, I don't foresee them going. I think they addressed it very much so in the offseason.
Yeah, I like that. Right here, Jordan, thank you, man. Appreciate the super chat. John, love the show. How do we bet with you guys? So I finished contract negotiations, whatever, which is a weird part of the job, with my bookie again. So we're going to be back with my bookie again this year. And yeah, we will post our bets every single week. And so you'll be able to bet with us. That's over on our Patreon and the 49ersrush.com. We do that on our Jerry Rice tier and above. So it's $20 a month. You get all of our video breakdowns, our Zoom hangouts, our bets of the week, all that stuff. And you get a bet along with us, which I think three out of the last 4 years we posted profits, which is great. Last year we did really, really well. We've had one down year out of those. But overall, if you bet with us, you're doing pretty good. And we cover our expenses and then some. So that's up at the 49ersrush.com. So check that out. And man, Yacek, you know I love you, bro. He says, John, today is the day we found out which week I won't be seeing John in New York City. I love you. The wife only gives me so much room, and it's hard. We went to New York last year, and it was incredible. The family was awesome. I like New York, but we'll see. The schedule comes out today. How are you feeling about the schedule? Do you, like, where are you on a scale of like 1 to 10, how important this is to you? Like, do you enjoy this, or are you just like, screw it, let me know when it's out?
Oh, no, I very much enjoy it. I like the fact that we get little leaks now, you know, kind of get building anticipation. You know, we know the 49ers are going to travel 38,000 miles or something like that. It's ridiculous. But I'm curious what the NFL is going to do as far as giving the 49ers a solid for them playing two international games this year. Super exciting for fans. I love that. You know, the Australia, Mexico City, that's great, great fan bases. And I think that's, it's good to see 49ers. They are a global, you know, team. So it is going to be good to see that. But the same regard, I want to see what they're doing to help the 49ers when it comes to back-to-back travel, East Coast travel, 10 o'clock start times, all of that. And of course, I'm always excited to see primetime, because those are the games that everyone kind of circles. It's that moment where everyone's focused on the 49ers and whatever team they're playing. And hopefully one of those is the Cowboys, so that everyone can see the Cowboys get blasted again in primetime.
And the Australia tailgate, which like all the Aussies are like, dude, I want to do the American tailgate. It's going to start at 6:30 in the morning, bro. 6:30 in the morning, bro. But hey, when down under, you got to do what you got to do. You know what I mean? So it is there, and we will be in Mexico. Doc Savage, he says, excited about Mexico City. See you in the Rush Crew there. Does the wait till last minute ticket buying strategy work in Mexico City, or should I grab tickets ASAP? Here's what I tell people all the time. Okay. Now, international, a little bit different. Get your hotels and get your travel, the airline tickets, whatever, right off the bat. Don't wait for those. I always wait for tickets. And even in Mexico City, we're putting together travel packages where tickets are included in that. So like if that's a concern for you, we're going to have those up by the end of the week for Mexico. We already have them up for Australia. Go to 49ersrushroadtrip.com. But the cities that we will 100% be in, we're going to be in Melbourne, Australia, Mexico City, Dallas, Kansas City, Atlanta. Those 500% guaranteed no matter when they are. Day before rally, all-inclusive tailgate, premium tailgate. Those are up now, 49ersrushroadtrip.com. Now, we have some maybe cities that if it's not back-to-back travel, that's the thing I look forward to. Like, the back-to-back weeks, I can't do. I just can't do it. And I already know it's going to be like Dallas then Kansas City the next week, and I'm just going to be like, oh, my gosh. But it's going to happen. So go to 49ersrushroadtrip.com. We already got tickets up for those five games. We'll add some more. Just ignore the dates. Schedule comes out tonight. I'll probably go live again tonight once the schedule does come out, just so I could, you know, check this and check that and just update. Hey, we're 100% going to be here. But whenever you do get your game tickets, and this is simple, TickPick is the best there is, pure and simple. Hey, Niner faithful. If you're looking for tickets to see the 49ers play this season, TickPick is the destination for the best deals you'll find on tickets with absolutely no hidden fees. TickPick guarantees the best price on tickets to every NFL game and beyond. Download the TickPick app and use code Niners, N-I-N-E-R-S, at checkout to save $10 on your first order. Again, that's code Niners. Get your tickets ready today to cheer on the team with the rest of the 49ers Rush community. And all of our events for the 49ers Rush road trip are sold exclusively on the TickPick app or TickPick.com. Just search 49ers Rush. Shout out to Sin and anything that brings community. I freaking love it. She asks, is anyone going on the red and gold cruise this summer with the 249 49ers fans? I didn't even know about this. This is the first time I've heard about it. But man, it sounds awesome. And shout out, Sin's just the sweetest human being in the world, I swear. Shout out to Joe, her husband. He's really, really nice, but he's an Eagles fan. But, you know, we give them the benefit of the doubt just by association. So shout out to you guys. Yeah, I don't know anything about that. I'm not planning on going. This summer is too crazy. But maybe next year we'll see there. Now, let's flip the script to the defensive side. Let's go negative first, because we just went positive. We got to balance this as much as possible. What is a concern that you have on the defensive side of the ball that just kind of like, man, wish they would have done something a little bit different here? Where do you stand on that?
I think it's safety. I don't know exactly what we're going to get. I want to give some grace to a guy like Malik Mustafa, who's coming off, you know, an ACL. and he kind of got back into the mix late. So I think that that is something that definitely impacted his play last year. We didn't see the consistency. We didn't see some of the things we saw in his rookie season, but I expect him to bounce back. So I think in that regard, I think the 49ers are going to be okay with Malik Mustafa playing safety. But I think the other position is completely up in the air. They drafted Marquis Siegel. They love the versatility. He's a guy that showed some corner skills, can play in the slot. So he's the kind of modern-day safety you're looking for that can kind of do it all, play in the box, play deep, fantastic tackler. But him and Jair Brown were just so inconsistent last year. And for a guy like Marquis Siegel, it's less about not being in the right places, but not being able to finish. He just didn't finish a lot of plays. I mean, the one that sticks out to me is the Terrence Ferguson, you know, play where he's right there in Ferguson's hip pocket. He just can't make the play on the ball. And those are the types of things that Marquis Siegel needs to have to go his way. Now, it will be a second year, which means he's got a firm understanding of the defense. He was thrust into starting lineup. Now he's got defensive coach Jerry Gray to help him as well. That's going to be impactful. So I think that those things are going to be huge for him moving forward. So I look for Marquis Siegel to take a step forward. And then I'm hoping that Jair Brown comes in and competes and plays hard. And we see more of what we saw his rookie season. And the last 2 years are more so an anomaly. So let's see what can happen. But I think they could have addressed that room. I think they still could add somebody. The only problem with that is you look at that room and they like to stash Saran Neal as that fourth safety so they could use him and then just kind of bump someone up from the practice squad every week. So I don't know what they're going to do there, but that would be my biggest concern on defense.
Yeah, it's safety in the chat. You know, I put in my notes, safety, safety, safeties. Like that is it. You didn't add anybody. I like Jalen Stroman, and I think that that was a good pickup priority free agent-wise, but he's more of what you have. He's a big nickel, box safety, 4'6", not speed, back-end guy. You got Siegel that's fast. Nobody else in that room is fast. Everybody else, 4'5", 4'6", you know, kind of thumpers. You're betting on coaching, and hopefully that comes through. I love to bet on players in contract years, which that's where, you know, Jair Brown is. This is last year, and there is no market for safeties. So if he plays like he did the last 2 years, like, that dude's not getting a contract anywhere. Like, people are just not signing safeties. They're just, it's the most devalued position in the NFL. And because of that, the 49ers have just said, shoulder shrug, hopefully coaching fixes it. And if it doesn't, we'll just sign somebody off the scrap heap a week before the season, just like they did with Tayshaun Gibson. Like, they've done that time and time again. So hopefully something shows, because Jair Brown was the worst player in training camp and preseason last year. Like, he was god awful. And it was crazy. He had that 1-2 interception game, which was awesome. But again, back to this idea of consistency, dude's given up the most touchdowns on the team past 2 years. He has the most missed tackles, like horrible angles. So many of his missed tackles don't even register because he can't even get a hand on the defender. It's like, man, the consistency has to happen. And so the football IQ has to come through, which he has. It's just the technique and, I don't know, swinging for the fences all the time. And like, that's got to go by the wayside. So this is where I want to see things. Now, the counterpoint has been, well, there's no pass rush. There's no pass rush. So what are the safeties supposed to do? Which I totally understand. Pass rush doesn't have to do with missed tackles. Pass rush doesn't have to do with missed assignments. And so, yeah, you got to figure that out. And pass rush will help. And the pass rush will be better. But also Fred Warner. Like, I would argue, the best coverage linebacker in the history of the sport. That helps the safeties. You know, Raheem does a little bit more Tampa 2 drops. Remember, he was back, you know, in the 90s Tampa Bay Bucks, back with, you know, the Monty Kiffin and all those guys, like literally the Tampa 2. He was part of that coaching staff. I want more Tampa 2. Like, I utilize Fred Warner in that way. That helps the safeties. That helps everybody out. So what are your thoughts with Raheem Morris and how that's going to help the safeties? You have the position coach Jerry Gray, who's a legend, but more of a scheme factor and how that could benefit the safeties moving forward.
Yeah, I think he's going to do a lot of things to benefit the safeties. I think he does a really good job of kind of masking some of the issues with the back end players, but then also putting them in really good situations to be successful. I think it's going to be different looks and different things that are going to help. I think even Jair Brown has talked about that a little bit. He had an interview where he talked about he's excited about where Raheem Morris is going to do. I do think that the pressure up front is going to help. a lot with these guys, but I also think the communication factor is going to be huge with Fred Warner. I think we saw that room kind of spin out of control, that safety room when Fred Warner was out. And I think a big reason why is if you look at the 49ers kind of through the Shanahan, John Lynch era, they always had a key veteran that was back there that was helping, right? You had Jimmy Ward, and then when Jimmy Ward was out, then all of a sudden, next thing you know, you had Tashaun Gibson. They always had a stabilizing force. Last year, they were rolling with three young guys. There wasn't that guy in the back end. They were expecting Jair Brown to be that guy. They were expecting Malik Mustafa. They weren't ready yet. And so I think that that's something that they missed, especially when Fred Warner was out. I thought you saw a lot of confusion there. But I expect it to be simplified. I expect the pass rush to help. And I expect the communication to be a lot better between those guys. I also think that Malik Mustafa and Marquis Siegel are going to step up vocally now that they're kind of get into their second and third seasons. And I think that that's going to help a lot on the back end as well.
Yeah, I like that. And right here from Cinnamon. Yeah, I'm going to think positively and hopefully about Jair Brown and Ricky Pearsall, two players that I've been down on. They've got to be more consistent. That is key. That is key. Big Toe, appreciate the super chat. Made a brisket this past Saturday. Me and Larry were talking barbecue yesterday. First time in the Weber Grill, just came out flat good. Good little smoke ring. Oh, dude, talking barbecue in the it's in the morning. Perfect time for barbecue. Always brisket's my favorite. Do you have a favorite barbecue? Like, do you have a favorite go to?
Not really. I just love it all.
That's how I know you're from California. That's how I know you're from California.
No, yeah, I'm from California because I would take tacos over barbecue. That's how you know I'm from California. I'm like, give me some tacos. That is my jam. Show me a taco truck, and I'm gonna go with it. But yeah, I do like barbecue, but and I barbecue some, but I would take tacos and Mexican food over it every single day.
I got to get you to Dallas or Kansas City this year. I'm telling you. We've got to find a way, guys. We've got to find a way. Let's get this guy down there. All right, let's go to the other side. Excitement. For me, this is easy. I want to steal it. I'm sorry. I was going to Steve Nash, and I just took it away, Gary Payton. I'm stealing it back. Look, I missed my favorite player in the NFL last year, Dre Greenlaw. And I saw Fred Warner's foot face the wrong way in Tampa Bay. I saw it was horrible. Fred Warner and Dre Greenlaw returning. The best linebacker room in the NFL returning. Are you kidding me? We go from Tatum Bethune, Eric Kendricks, Garrett Wallow, D Winters to Dre Greenlaw and Fred Warner. I care about a lot of things. My childhood memories are Navarro Bowman, Patrick Willis, Ken Norton Jr., Bill Romanowski. You know what I mean? Like, linebackers have always been my thing. It's what I played. It's what I coached. We get to see Dre. And on top of that, Navarro Bowman's not coaching this year, which means we're already talking with his agent. We're getting him out to some of the 49ers rush road trips this year. I freaking love Navarro, but my second favorite player ever. Dude, I'm just so pumped about the linebackers, Ant. Like, we get to watch Dre Greenlaw kill people on the field, and I'm thankful.
Yeah, the attitude, right? It comes back, and I think that that's a big part of defense is that attitude and that fear that players are going to have on the opposing offense. It's a real thing. You worry about going over the middle when 5'7"'s there. You worry about, you know, toting the rock when he's going to stick you in the hole. That type of attitude will permeate, and the next thing you know, they're going to fly around. It's kind of like the old Bash Brothers thing, right? You watch Mighty Ducks. You know what Fulton Reed's like, am I just Mr. Bash? Like, you know, you can't be by yourself. You got to have your Bash Brother. So I think that's what Fred Warner and Dre Greenlaw are going to really kind of get going together. And I think they added a lot of attitude guys, right? You look Upton Stout. He's a guy that plays with a lot of attitude and fierceness. D'Amore Lenore's always talking trash. Jack Jones, you might as well just say it. He's going to be out there talking if he even makes this team. So they added a lot when it comes to attitude. And I think that's something they were missing for sure. You got to have guys that are out there and they're just putting some fear into some people. And I think that linebacker room definitely does that. And one question I have for you, John, I think is going to be interesting, is the Sam linebacker job. You've got Tatum Bethune. I think he's the most obvious. But would it not be the coolest thing if it was Nick Martin? And what do you think about Nick Martin playing that role and maybe having a little bit of the hybrid role with that speed coming off the edge? I'm interested in what you think of, can Nick Martin take the Sam job from Tatum Bethune?
It was weird whenever Nick Martin first came here and they're like, no, he's a Will. Like, he's just a Will, and that's what he's going to be. But then he got that one start at Sam, but he got a concussion before he ever even got his first defensive snap play. He got the concussion on kickoff coverage, I think it was, stayed out there for two plays and came off, and the season was over just like that. But, like, I think that fans forget he earned the starting role. Like, he got it. Injuries happen, especially to 49ers players. And like, that's what it was, but he got to the point where he fought and earned that role. I think that the Dre Greenlaw signing does the most for Nick Martin in a similar way that Mike Evans does for Stripling. Now, Nick Martin is a year removed and he's already in his second year, but people forget how he was the least experienced player the 49ers drafted over the past three seasons combined. You could add in this draft, the least amount of experience of the last three draft classes combined. Then he gets injured and missed, you know, that entire year. So how do you see Nick Martin? I see him as crazy upside, energy, tackling machine, all those things. Coverage is a major liability. You saw that at Oklahoma State in his draft tape. But, man, he can get after the passer so well. I would prefer Nick Martin win that job. I do think Tatum Bethune probably has the experience and the trust and all that kind of stuff. He can't cover very well either. And then you throw in, you know, Jaden Duggar, who that dude is built to play that position. His film is rough. It's rough. I want Nick Martin to win it. But the signing of Dre Greenlaw allows you to say, hey, Nick Martin, it's not a make or break year. Learn some more, get some more reps. Hopefully it works out at the same spot. If not, guess what? Dre Greenlaw is going to go get paid next year. Then you can step in and compete for the Will spot. We'll see what that looks like. I want Nick Martin to win it. If you're going for consistency, I'm not sure if he brings that. I don't know. What's your Florida State guy, Tatum Bethune? I feel like that's who you're pulling for a little bit.
I like Tatum Bethune, but honestly, I see the upside with Nick Martin. You know what I mean? You see the athleticism, the aggressiveness that he plays with. No one can say that Nick Martin doesn't come downhill and absolutely light people up. Like, the dude's electric. And I look at him and I say, and I watched him in training camp last year really struggle with some of the drops and things like that, just with the footwork. It was rough. And I think that he made a lot of improvements during the season. But if he could win that role, if he could outright beat Tatum Bethune out, he is more athletic. He is faster. He's more explosive. This dude packs a punch. I think he does give you more versatility to rush off the edge as well if you wanted somebody that could do that in some certain looks. But I think that that could potentially be one of those linebacker rooms that rivals the Fred Warner, Dre Greenlaw, Aziz Alshire if Nick Martin hits. Because that dude has got Alshire potential written all over him. And I think that that would be just a really great linebacker room. I think Bethune's got the edge. He's played Mike. He understands his defense inside and out. He's gotten better in coverage, and he plays the run really well, which your Sam linebacker has to do. But Nick Martin is the guy I'm like, this is the upside. This is the guy that can go get it done. So I'm pulling for Nick Martin, actually, in this situation, because I want the best possible linebacker room for the 49ers.
Ah, it's just so freaking good. And, you know, right here, the Wisconsin Badgers' linebacker room is thin if you assume Greenlaw misses time. Like, you've got Luke Gifford, who, you know, Pro Bowl special teamer. I understand nobody wants him out there, but that dude's got 5 years experience as the number three linebacker. Like, it's not ideal, but you can have him out there. Tatum Bethune, you got Jaden Duggar, the kind of prospect rookie guy. We'll see what happens. But, man, Jalen Graham, you've got Garrett Wallow. Those are not bad players. It's not what you want. They're special teamers with upside. And then you just signed Larry Wirth, who, you know, beat out. It comes in for a rookie tryout. I love those kind of guys. And I love cycling the back end of the roster and saying, hey, nobody's safe. I think Derek Canteen did it the previous year. Like, somebody that goes out there and earns it. This guy belongs. He shows up. And you want I love this linebacker room. I just think that it is just off the freaking charts, man. I really, really do. Now, Doug says, you know, what's the backstory with Martin and the Niners? He was a Robert Saleh handpicked guy. Robert Saleh's not here anymore. Johnny Holland is. And Johnny Holland, you know, I mean, you have scouted successful linebackers in the past, and you got rid of D Winners, which I thought was a great move for D Winners and the Niners and the Cowboys. I thought that was a win-win-win. What are your thoughts on Jaden Duggar? Have you watched him a lot? The film's rough. The prototypes are great.
Yeah, I think that he's a project. I think they knew he was a project. I think you look at him, and I think Larry Worth as well. These guys are kind of built the same way. You just got Duggar with a little bit more size. I mean, he's going about 240 with Worth going about 225. So, you know, difference in body. But this is the vision for 2027 defense and beyond for Raheem Morris in this defense when they're looking to be multiple. They want to be able to not have to run personnel on to go from a 4-3 to a 3-4. They want to be able to change from play to play. And if you can actually get the hybrid players to be able to do that with a guy that can play off ball and rush the passer off the edge, which, you know, I think that that's what he was looking at in Atlanta too, then offenses can't prepare for what you're going to be doing. It changes a lot of different things on offense about where you're going with your benchmarks as far as running the ball, what you're doing in coverage, how you're setting up pass protection. So this is something they're developing. Duggar's going to be a developmental player. He's not going to make an impact in 2026, but this is a long-term play for the 49ers. That's why, as rough as the film was, they understand where they could go. And I never bet against Johnny Hollins when it comes to developing linebackers, because we've seen him do it. And think about all the big contracts his linebackers have gotten out there, from Zezal Shire, Fred Warner, Dre Greenlaw. They develop really good linebackers in this system, and I think that that's what they're hoping they're going to do, and that's why they got two guys that can kind of do the same thing.
And last year under Robert Saleh, we started seeing the 4-3 under-over, which means you're in your basic 4-3, four down linemen, three backers. And then the third backer, the Sam guy, was Luke Gifford most of the time, would rotate onto the line of scrimmage. They did this to stop the run. That was the emphasis last year. The 3-4 hybrid that, you know, this five down lineman that Raheem Morris does, they do a five lineman approach where you have four D linemen and, you know, one of your backer walks up. It's to rush the passer. So it looks similar, but it's a completely different understanding and kind of, you know, philosophy on why we're doing this. You would rotate Luke Gifford up just for that extra run gap force on the outside against those tight end and 13 personnel packages. Now you're doing it to rush the passer. And so I am curious because, yeah, it's that same Sam backer that's going to be on the line of scrimmage, but it's a completely different skill set. It is a Duggar. It is a Nick Martin. Tatum Bethune, I don't know. That's where my biggest hiccup, because he's so small. Like he's small compared to those other guys, arm length, whatever else. Like, he's that kind of William Floyd compact, you know, Kalon Black guy. Does that give you hesitation for your Florida State dude? If Raheem Morris is going to use that, that almost says, like, dude, it's not going to be as much. You might just put Tatum Bethune as the backup Mike and just leave him there and let him do some special teams.
Yeah, I think so. I think Nick Martin is actually perfect for the position this season. The explosiveness, the GTFO. I mean, this guy gets off the ball. He comes with reckless abandon. That might actually help him a little bit. Where, you know, I saw in chat people talking about him missing tackles because he was too eager and too aggressive. Well, guess what? When you're coming off the edge and it's a pass rush situation, that's what you can do a lot of times. And he's got elite athleticism. If you're talking, you know, a Jalen Walker type player, Nick Martin has got that ability. He's just never been asked to do it. So I think he would be unique to fit into that role. And I think there's a role for him in Raheem Morris's defense. I don't think that's what they originally envisioned him when Robert Saleh drafted him last year. But this is when a defensive coordinator comes in, looks at skill set and said, hey, this guy would benefit us a lot. Now that we got Dre Greenlaw, we can do that with this player. I think that'd make a lot of sense. And I think Tatum Bethune just being the Mike linebacker backup, Sam linebacker backup, I think that's very solid for the 49ers anyways.
Yeah, I like this question for Bortola. You know, Jalen Graham has been on the roster for 3 years. Any chance he gets play at linebacker? If he could crack it last year, it's just the consistency's not there. He's that hybrid coverage linebacker type role out of Purdue. Played the star role. But I think practice squad, special teamer, backup guy, his past kind of carved out for him, and that's kind of all it's going to be. I'd like to be wrong, but I don't see that there's any really way that he makes the 53-man roster, but maybe bring him back on the practice squad because he knows all three linebacker spots. He knows special teams and he can contribute there, but only in dire straits, multiple injuries at that position. What's your outtake on Jalen Graham?
Yeah, I don't think he's going to make the 53-man roster. And the question is he going to be able to make the practice squad if they want to keep, you know, some of these other young guys potentially that they have? You know, they might not be able to keep a Garrett Wallow. Would they want to have him on the practice squad potentially? Or Larry Worthy, who they want to continue to develop? Because let's not forget, they had guys who were undrafted that they put on the practice squad that they developed at linebacker who eventually became starters. So I think that this is a long-term play. Jalen Graham is that type of player in the same build. These other guys got a little bit more juice than him. So I think that they're kind of the way that they're going. So I think there's going to be some guys who have been on the practice squad for a few years that we might not see anymore after this because the 49ers have built so much depth on their roster.
And prepare for it now. 49ers are losing players at cuts. Like, we are back to last year. It was there, but you're going to be back to the 5 to 7 players being claimed after the 49ers waive players. That's just what it's going to be. Now, Jalen Graham, we're starting our 91-man roster countdown series, which we've been working on all week to whatever. Jalen Graham's 76, right? You only keep 53. He's 76. So he's back end. And that's kind of what his career is. That's okay because he'll be able to contribute somewhere in the NFL. Might not be here. He'll be on a practice squad somewhere because of his versatility and keep collecting paychecks. And that's a positive thing. And I hope he keeps getting paid. So linebacker room, it kind of walked away from this episode. Linebackers, wide receiver, amazing depth, top end players. Love that. Safeties, running backs. I know Christian McCaffrey's Christian McCaffrey, but like, those are the question marks. We didn't even talk about tight end. That's one of my concerns as well, as long as Kittle's out. Haven't added anybody to that room. Ugh. But every single team has issues at certain positions. Safety, tight end, running back. It's three of the least premium positions in the NFL, so it's almost like the 49ers are picking certain spots to stack up on and certain spots to be like, hey, if we're going to be short anywhere, might as well be short here.
Yeah, and I think you look at tight end and the 49ers, once again, we talked about the roster gymnastics. If George Kittle's going to be out, they might elect to only keep two on the 53-man roster and then just elevate somebody, you know, elevate, you know, Dinkins, or, you know, if they get Braden Willis again, just have them come up and be the third tight end. Maybe they'll find somebody else. But I think that that's one of the things they're looking at. And who knows? And maybe they're going to look at running more 11 personnel or running some four receiver sets. But I think that they could fully expect to go into games kind of that way, as they're looking to make roster spots for some of these players they don't want to lose.
Yeah, I like it. So that's going to do it for our show today, but I will be live later on with the schedule. So when the schedule comes out, here's what everybody's got to go do. Go to 49ersrushroadtrip.com, figure out what trips you can go to, book your tickets with us. And so when the schedule's out, here's what I do. I call the boss, Miss Chapman, executive producer of the show, and I say, what trips am I allowed to do and which ones am I not? And then I'll go on the site, I'll update those. Then I'm going to go live and we'll break down the schedule, what games parties will be at. So join us later tonight. You're doing a schedule break episode tomorrow or tonight? What's your plan, Ant?
Yeah, I'm going to be doing it tonight. I don't know if I'm going to go live or if I'm going to record something. We'll see how my schedule plays out. But yeah, I'll be putting something out talking about the schedule and everything that's going on with it.
Dude, we got Ant's origin story. We got excitement. We got concerns. We got schedules. It's been fun, man. This has been an absolute blast. And I want to say thank you so much. Can't wait till next Thursday. We're back together. And for everybody else, you are the best of the best. Thank you so much. And until next time, stay strong, faithful. Peace.